Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Life in Lane 4, the podcast where we dive into the struggles of balancing the rigors of swimming and school. I am your host, Anton Bergavoy, and today I'm here with a very good friend of mine, Kentaro Bauer. Kentaro and I met last year when I was just a freshman at George School, but as the year progressed and the practices had piled on, Kentaro and I grew closer and closer. Now, he's the only person that I trust to be my counter on my hardest races, the 500, the 1,000, the mile, and I always look up to him whenever we are working on our underwaters and starts. Although Kentaro is moving on to Carnegie Mellon University next year, a little part of him will still always be with me. I am extremely grateful that he agreed to come with the podcast and am excited to hear his story.
Hey, Ken, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, of course.
So you just graduated senior year. Congratulations. Just graduated high school. So
thank you.
How has the last year of high school swimming been for you?
It's been an interesting one. It's definitely been my best in terms of like how much I think I've grown as a person and also just how much fun I had. It's definitely been the most meaningful one too. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to like cover everything. I mean, I was captain this year, so that was really meaningful. But it's also sort of been just like everything culminated in this year, you know, so all the other years have been great too. But knowing that this year is going to be my last one, I think I put the most, the most into it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely some like disappointments in terms of like, you know, times I wanted to go, records I wanted to break, but you know, all in all, it was it's been a great year.
Mm-hmm. So you said like, you don't know if you have enough time to cover everything. So can you give us like a top best moment or like top three best moments or something?
I don't know, dude, that's hard. Well, it's just not just high school swim, right? It's like everything.
Yeah. It's like, it's like GSA too.
Yeah. That's so hard. I want to put silvers in there. Silvers was, you were there. That was like,
that was
just a lot of fun. You know, we weren't swimming our best events. We were swimming our off events. So it was fun to be able to like update our times. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember watching some like Bella Sims podcast thing like years ago. She was talking about how, you know, she was in a slump in her like two back for a while, and so then her coach put her in her two fly, and she became like a two flyer for a few months, which like, you know, and then she just went to JNATS for that or something. That didn't happen to me, but like, she has a point though. I feel like it's cool to, you know, because I was in a sort of 100 breast slump for a while. You know, seniors was kind of rough, so it was really nice to have that silvers meet where, you know, I think like technically I was still just updating my times, but it was great to be able to see, like, you know, those huge time drops. You know, because, like, my best 100 fly was, I don't think I'd even, I think I had gone 55 before, but, you know, going from 55 to 53 mid, you know, that's like,
yeah,
you know, 53 is a time I can be proud of, too. So,
yeah,
you know, things like that. Yeah. And also just being there with the team, like, you know, because Dano didn't get to come to seniors. So, you know, that was awesome to be able to, you know, go hang out with him for his, you know, last meet. You know, there's still some fast racing. I got to race all of you.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah. How you said that, like, the last 3 years kind of like culminated into this year. Like, how do you think it culminated?
Well, so actually, I was talking with, I don't know if this really, exactly answers your question. I feel like in one way that especially specifically the high school season sort of kind of built up to this year is, I mean, for a lot of like the seniors that have been, this is our fourth year swimming, we experienced that first year loss against Friends Central. And so, you know, like having this three-peat, I feel like has been sort of extra meaningful to us. And I'm sure you guys will keep winning, you know, for the next few years too, but
of course.
Now you guys got that. But still, it's, you know, getting that first one was great. Getting that repeat one was great. And then finally, you know, getting that three-peat sort of solidifying sort of, I don't want to say our legacy. I feel like that's sort of, I don't know, maybe that's not arrogant. But, you know, like that's, you know, that's like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
On a surface level. And also, yeah, it's just because of that, you know, having to experience that loss at the beginning and then sort of being here as the team grew. And Brandon also, I think that was his first year too.
Really?
My first year. So sort of, you know, seeing how Brandon's grown the team, being part of this, you know, it's been really extra meaningful. And then being able to be captain for this last year, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't, who's not aware of this three-peat that Quintana's talking about, we're talking about the Friends School League championship for high school swimming. So basically, he's saying that his freshman year, we lost, the George School lost to a George School lost to another team, Friends Central, in our league, and his sophomore, junior, and this year we have three-peated for the Friends School League Championship. So awesome stuff. And Brandon Hollings, who was on episode 5, he is the coach for the high school team and the GSA club team as well, which is nice. So yeah, how did it feel to be captain? How does the season as captain make it difficult for you than the other three seasons?
It's definitely much more responsibility. You know, I was aware of this going into it, obviously. But like once I was in the position, I feel like I realized that it was even more work than I thought it'd be. And I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a huge amount of work, but now I had to be more aware of, you know, okay, I have to be to like get to meets on time and or even early and, you know, help lead stretches, things like that, which I know, I guess are kind of obvious and kind of given, but you know, as a swimmer looking up to captains, you don't really think about that aspect of the job until you're actually in it. And to be honest, I don't think I did the best job with that. I was still late to a few meets, and you know,
I'm good.
You know, my other captains were there to support me, and yeah, you know, it was great. I think we had a decent team of captains going too. I mean, yeah, I could get into the captain's politics, you know, but no, overall, it was great.
What do you think the hardest part of being a captain was?
Hardest part? To be honest, it wasn't really that hard. I mean, again, those like responsibilities made it, you know, a little bit more. You know, I couldn't be so relaxed all the time, just minding my own business. I also had to pay attention to, you know, the other swimmers and making sure that they knew what they were doing and, you know, they were getting the support they needed. But, you know, if anything, it just made the season, again, more meaningful and more fun because I could feel a lot more proud of the other swimmers' accomplishments. I feel like I was much more aware of all the swimmers. I remember I made an effort to like try to get to know everyone more and remember everyone's names. So it was really cool to see like, and I sort of emphasized this in my captain speech, if you remember, but, you know, like scoring at FSLs isn't just like the top three, you know, the club swimmers that are just going to carry the meet. Like it goes down to like the fourth, fifth place finishes that, you know, could be filled in by these kids that don't swim year round. But, you know, if they're passionate enough and work hard enough, then they can make a contribution. And so it was really awesome to spend the season getting to know these kids. And then, you know, at this final meet, you know, at FSLs, you know, seeing these kids make a difference made me so much more proud to be the captain, one of the captains of the team, and, you know, be able to bring home that win for both the boys and the girls.
So speaking of meets, actually, what do you normally do to like feel for them? Like on previous episodes, I've heard eat like some gummies or eat some sort of like candy before a meet. I've heard not really to eat and have a lot of like Gatorade or something like that. Eat like a very high carb meat before or meal before the meet. So like, what do you normally do to fuel your body for a meet?
I don't know. This is definitely something I could still work on a lot more. I definitely have sort of a routine. Not really, but like, you know, there are things that, you know, I try to stick to, specifically about like what I eat. You know, I mean, the night before the first day of a meet, I think I usually try to eat a lot of carbs, but also, I don't know, protein, I guess, and throughout the meet too, make sure I get my protein and stuff properly recovering. Is it the Iron Hill right outside
FNM? Yeah.
I remember my freshman year, for like the longest time, I hated cheese. I still don't really like cheese. I never eat cheese by itself, but because of that, like, I didn't really eat pizza. But then freshman year, I started like, you know, I ate a few pizzas. I was like, damn, I like this, but I still hated the cheese. So when I went to Eastern's freshman year, I remember I really wanted a pizza, but I wasn't really trying to eat cheese. So I ordered a cheeseless pizza, and Jenna didn't let me hear the end of that. So, you know, but that sort of became like a tradition. So I think all 4 years that I've gone to Eastern's, that was sort of my go-to, even if, like, now I'm fine eating cheese pizzas, but, you know, I'd still get the cheeseless pizza.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's not really like a good luck thing or anything, because honestly, Eastern's has been a rough meet for me for like almost all the years, but, you know, it's still been like a, you know, it's a fun tradition. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why I've been doing buns.
Has to be.
I think one time, I think for LAC, I had salmon. Because, well, you know, salmon's like protein rich and stuff. It was all right, you know.
How'd you do? It was okay. How'd you do with that meat? How'd you do the meat afterwards?
I actually did pretty well. So, yeah, maybe I should have eaten salmon. Maybe salmon.
Maybe salmon's a trick.
And then during meats, I don't know. I saw some of these reels that were like talking about, oh, you should eat this much protein, this much carbs during the meat. And honestly, I didn't really stick too well to that. But, you know, I still do sort of the usual, you know, make sure I'm hydrated, eat some honey stingers. I don't know. Do you have anything like that?
I don't know. I normally have, I would like to stick to my grapes and Gatorade. Like I've started to implement like some of like the other things that people have been telling me through the podcast and through just like in general. Yeah.
Because you had some like nutritionist come on too, right?
Yeah. Or not really nutritionist, like personal trainer. Mike Lawson. But yeah, episode 3. But it was nice. It was like he definitely had some good things to say. Like other people that I had on definitely had other great things to say. I had this exercise scientist, Sebastian Smith, on episode 11, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But I had him on a couple episodes before this, and like all of them, like they all gave amazing advice. So I've started to implement that, but I always go back to my grapes and Gatorade. I love those. Yeah. It's like I always.
Like, what's your, I don't know, I don't want to put you on the spot like this, but it's like, do you have any major takeaways from those that like, I don't know, like what were things that stuck with you?
I mean, things that stuck with me was like, definitely, and anybody listening to this should definitely go see Mike Lawson's and Sebastian's episode for more information on this. But from what I, like my biggest takeaways was that sweets aren't really that bad for you, especially during meets. Like Sebastian said that he always has, he always snacks on some like gummy worms pre-meet and then during the meet. And then Mike said that he was more of like a water polo player. He wasn't really a swimmer, but he would always have like a PB&J or like some sort of fruit or something to help him get through his workouts, get through his practices. So like that's kind of what I've been starting to stick with. I've been starting to eat a lot more fruit and eat more like high carb meals before practices. Like I always eat whatever I have, like mashed potatoes, or I have buckwheat or something like that, right before practice, and it normally it fuels me very, very well. So that's me. That's what I like to have.
You know, one thing that I've been sort of become more, I don't want to say addicted to, but like something that I've been drinking a lot more, especially for like meats, is the Gatorade, like something light. What's it called? It's like the
Oh,
Pedialyte, but it's
the
the Gatorade
Gatorade.
version. I think that's like more hydrating or something. I don't know. It goes down like easier for me. And I don't know, maybe it's placebo, but I feel more hydrated during meets when I drink it. And it's like, yeah.
Hey, if it
It's
works,
not as sweet too, so.
What's the what's your go-to Gatorade flavor, do you think?
Oh. Damn, that's like a controversial one now. I think like
Fine.
orange is sort of my go-to for a lot of things. Recently I found out that a lot of my friends don't like orange flavored stuff, which works out for me because I can just take that from them. But yeah, I think orange has been my go-to. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind like the fruit punch and the lemon either.
Orange is really the best for you.
Yeah.
I always have the Glacier Freeze at practices. I have like three giant tubs in my house,
Oh, is that the
and
blue
I just
one?
that's the one I always carry around at practice and stuff.
It's all
So
right. I don't know. I don't actually mess with them that much. Again, it's not like I'll drink
the
it. No, the blue one.
Gatorade?
I mean, like I'll drink it, but
Anyways, you said that like at Easterns and at like other meets and at seniors, you said you kind of like fell short of your goals and like the records that you wanted to break. So like how did you deal with these like drawbacks or setbacks, I guess?
It was rough. It was really, really rough. I don't know. This is kind of, I feel like this is kind of corny, but it took me a few days to sort of like recover from that. We got back from Easterns and, you know, like the smallest things would like make me emotional.
Really?
But like after a few days, I finally like, you know, kind of force myself to go talk to Brandon, to, you know, just tell him how I felt and see if he had anything to say. And that proved to be really helpful because it like changed my perspective completely on, you know, how that last season went for me. And essentially, like coming out of it, what he sort of showed me through like some, you know, stories, anecdotes that he told me from his own, you know, like when he was swimming and then when he was, you know, coaching too, is that it's like really the effort that you put in to this, like, I don't know, whatever goal you're trying to accomplish that makes that goal so much like so meaningful. And so, you know, like I had this 100 breast record that I was, you know, chasing for what, like 3 years. Because I thought I, you know, I thought I was so close to it, and I had a lot of setbacks, and so it sort of makes sense why I didn't get it. I mean, the closest race I had to it too wasn't a great race either, so you know, it makes me wonder like, oh, maybe I could have had it if I had made like these decisions. But like the point is that, you know, all these years I've been working so hard to get here, and like it's easy to get lost in the oh, I didn't accomplish the goal, so it was sort of all for naught. But you know, that record meant so much to me because of how much like work and stuff I put into it, how much I sacrificed for it. And you know, there's some people that accomplish their goals a lot more, you know, easily, and like that's cool for them. But you know, sometimes that means that those goals just don't really mean so much to them. And so just like realizing that made me a lot more proud of what I had accomplished and what, just the fact that I had come to the point where like that record had meant so much to me. And realizing that even though I didn't accomplish that record, I'd still come like really far as a swimmer.
Yeah,
that just made it a lot more bearable. And yeah, so just be able to be a lot more proud of, you know, all the things that I had accomplished.
Yeah.
It's also just like sort of, you know, don't lose sight of, don't forget what you gain through the process. You know, don't just be so hyper-focused on, you know, the goal itself.
All right. Oh, on to more happier topics. So first of all, I want to, again, congratulate you on graduating high school.
Thank you.
And for anyone who does not know, Kentaro is committed to Carnegie Mellon University. So congrats on that as well. So how does it feel to finally be a high school graduate?
It's weird. I don't know. I don't really feel anything. I feel like this isn't a, you know, completely unique experience. A lot of people say that it takes a while to hit them. But it still feels like, you know, I'll be back on George School campus in September, and this feels like another summer break. So yeah, I don't know. It feels weird because I feel like I should feel a certain way, you know, feel differently in some way, but I just don't. But also I sort of, never mind. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. What are you looking forward to most at Carnegie Mellon?
I want to say swimming. I can't really because Loki didn't make the team. But you know, I'm gonna still keep like working towards that, I guess. So I look forward to making the team, showing like the coach that, you know, I think I still can contribute value to the team, because I also just want, you know, I could do club swimming, but I'm worried that club swimming isn't going to be like the best environment for me to grow as a swimmer, because I want to keep getting faster, and I feel like I'd be a lot more motivated and a lot more driven if I'm actually part of like the varsity team. And you know, even if I'm not making like whatever conference roster, you know, for the first few years, which, you know, could happen, but, you know, still being able to train with an actual team of, you know, other, like, people that are faster than me and equally driven would probably, you know, help me. I'm hoping that would take me to the next level. But, yeah, I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Why did you pick Carnegie Mellon? Sorry, I just, like, it's...
I don't know. I feel like if I actually give the honest answer for this, it's kind of depressing. But to be honest, I don't know. I chose Carnegie Mellon was my top choice. It sort of has been, partially because of the prestige, I guess, you know, like Carnegie Mellon's a college where you say, oh, I go to Carnegie Mellon. And then people are like, oh, that's, you know, that's really cool. Congratulations. And yeah, so I mean, there's definitely that element. And I am going for like going to the music school, which is a little different. You know, it's not exactly the computer science program or the robotics or whatever that, you know, is people compare it to like Ivy's or whatever. But, you know, it's the music school is still very strong. And, you know, I can still say I'm going to Carnegie Mellon. So that's that's cool. But actually going back to what I was saying about putting effort in and like what you get out, I feel like, I don't know, right now I'm in this weird place where I don't feel like I can really be proud of getting into Carnegie Mellon because I'm going for music, but music is something that sort of came easily to me all my life because both my parents are musicians, and I sort of, you know, I sort of grew up in a lab to be a musician, I feel like. So, you know, I feel like I didn't really have to put as much effort into like whatever music stuff I was doing and that I needed to do to get into the music program. Compared to, you know, like, let's say swimming, where, you know, I really worked really hard and I can be really proud of what I've accomplished, even if it doesn't, you know, get me recruited to Carnegie Mellon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to Carnegie Mellon because it's Carnegie Mellon and I got in, and I can say that I'm going to Carnegie Mellon. And also, I mean, their programs are great. Like, their music program's great. The cello teacher is great there, and I'm excited to study with her. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, there is sort of still some things I get stuck on about, mm-hmm. you know, like, am I really going there because I want to? Because, like, I'm also in the position right now where I don't really want to pursue music as a profession, or mm-hmm. at least cello, you know? So in a way, it sort of feels like, you know, maybe it was a cop-out. You know, maybe I just took the easiest route to, you know, get into a college that I can be, you know, I can brag about. Not that I will, but, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see how, where that goes, though. Like, I'm sure there's something irrational in that, too. You know, once I get there, you know, I'm just taking advantage of, you know, the things, you know, the advantages I have, so.
Yeah.
Once I'm there, I might, you know, be able to pivot in some way. To be honest, I don't really know how any of that works because I haven't been doing any of my college stuff. Because, you know, life's been busy, I guess. But, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you manage, so back to your high school career, how did you manage being a boarder who also had to swim? Like, I know the practice times were awful because study hall was right in the middle of practice mm-hmm. time. So, like, how did you manage it? How did you manage just being a boarder who swam?
So, I'm gonna be so honest, right? I didn't. How did I manage it? I really didn't. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I really struggled. I really did struggle. Part of that, too, is I decided to do the IB diploma,
mm-hmm.
which was a choice that I sort of, at several points in my last 2 years, have regretted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that I've sort of survived it and come through, I don't think I would change any decisions I made.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more just about, like, you know, I'm happy with the person that I am. I'm comfortable with the person that I am. And I don't really, you know, I don't feel like I wouldn't trade whatever. Like, I wouldn't trade who I am right now for who I could have been if I, didn't do the IB diploma, but at the same time, it's no secret that, you know, it was a lot of work and I struggled a lot with it, and I definitely feel like it had a significant impact on my my physical and mental health
mm-hmm.
throughout the last 2 years, and that made swimming really hard too. Like, I don't know if I can blame the diploma and like all that work for all the times I got sick, but I definitely did get sick like a record number of times. My immune system's, you know, been kind of, I don't know, messed up. I feel like, you know, I haven't been getting any sleep, and all that stuff's definitely stuff that I can also work on myself. Like, I could have worked around, and I definitely did, you know, work on it. I definitely got better with time management and stuff. But there are also definitely places I could have still improved on, in terms of like discipline, you know, forcing myself to, you know, eat more food, drink more water, and go to sleep instead of procrastinating mm-hmm. work. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. It's been a learning experience. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people that come on this podcast and are, you know, all these big college recruits have already have it figured out, and I'm still figuring it out, but
yeah. I mean, all good, all good, all part of life, right? All part of the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, it's like I'm kind of at this stage too, where like I kind of have an idea of what I want to do, but like I don't know if I want to like, and like I'm just starting to get like a list of colleges, and just trying to email college coaches and stuff. So,
And that's the other thing. Sorry, I interrupted you, but
nah, you're good.
The other thing was just that I was looking miserable throughout the whole thing because I really didn't want to be doing the diploma because the diploma is not really going to help me much. It didn't help me get into college, I don't think. Maybe it did, like, in terms of the classes I was taking, like rigor and stuff like that. But the diploma itself is only really valid for helping you get into colleges like abroad, which I'm not doing. So it wasn't exactly necessary in terms of what I got out of it. I don't know, in terms of like the value of the diploma. So I feel like most of the value I got out of it was more just, I don't know, character growth, like forcing myself to go through this hard time that, you know, I've heard a lot of people say will make college easier. So I hope that's true.
Yeah. I was going to, that's actually gonna be like one of my next questions. Like, how do you think that doing the diploma as a boarder kind of like affected, and how do you think it's gonna get you ready for college?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I don't know what college is like yet, so I can't really say for sure yet. I can only say that, you know, all the people that I've, you know, there, I've had a lot of people tell me that going through the IB diploma makes college a lot easier. But I've also sort of realized that, like, you know, everyone has different experiences. I remember early junior year, when this was like 2 months into it, and I was already trying to drop the diploma. And Kim, who's the IB coordinator, was like insisting, like, no, don't do that. But I sort of felt dehumanized by her, because when I went to her and I was like, hey, I'm really struggling, I have a lot going on, she was like, yeah, everyone else has a lot going on too, so just like suck it up, I guess. And I mean, she wasn't completely wrong, you know, like I feel like to a certain extent I was sort of victimizing myself and sort of feeling sorry for myself because of the situation I was in and how miserable I was. But at the same time, I still felt sort of not really seen by her, because she was telling me, like, oh, you know, like, you have this kid, he's also doing GSA, and then there's this kid, he does music too, and then there's this kid, you know, he's also a prefect. But there's no kid in the program that was doing, like, all three of those things at the same time. And I'm not trying to say that like I had it the hardest, because I know there are some kids out there that are, they're absolutely insane, do like literally everything and more. But I feel like she was sort of really dismissive about that, and I don't know, that was sort of upsetting for me. And I mean, ultimately I think it's still, you know, she might have been right about some things, because I still got through it all, but you know, juggling you know, swimming and then music and being a boarder, and then this past year being a boarding prefect, and then doing the diploma on top of that, was definitely a lot. So I do find it hard to imagine that college is going to be that hard, especially with, you know, being at, I expect it to be a lot more streamlined, and in the sense of, like, you know, I'll just be studying music, you know, and so that's not going to have like all the diploma stuff. That's just going to be like, you know, it'll be focused on music, and then I'll have a lot more free time, and then swimming will also like work around that. So hopefully, you know, it'll become more flexible, but
What advice would you give to someone who is kind of balancing, or who is having trouble and like is struggling to balance swimming in school, kind of like how you were junior, senior year?
You have to be honest with yourself, in like every respect, you know, in terms of how you're using your time. You know, you could complain about like, oh, I'm only getting 4 hours of sleep because I have so much work to do. But then, you know, what about those 3 hours you spent on Reels, you know? And then like also like the effort you're putting in to all your things, like, I mean, in the pool, of course, you know, are you actually giving 100%, you know, with your schoolwork? And I mean, sometimes you have to prioritize things too, like, and that's also being honest with yourself, like, what are the things that really matter for you? And so maybe you're not going to write the best paper you've ever written. That was sort of something that I had to work on this past year, because I had a lot of essays that I was sort of backed up with that I had to just get in. And, you know, at a certain point, I just had to quote unquote write a B paper. You know, instead of trying to write an A plus paper, just get words down on a page that, you know, will go into the grade book. And then you know, maybe you won't have a 4.0 GPA, but you know, you'll at least get through it or whatever. The point is that like you have to, you know, you have to again be aware of like what are your priorities, be honest with yourself. You know, am I actually, you know, is there something that I really have to cut out of my life, or is there something that, you know, am I just being lazy? Things like that.
And last question. This is something that I do ask everybody. If you can go back to your freshman year, what do you think you would do differently?
Dude, this is a hard question, you know. I want to say I wouldn't really change anything. Again, like not doing the IB diploma, that's sort of a huge question. I feel like, you know, because that would completely alter how my junior and senior year would have gone if I didn't do the diploma. So that'd be like a whole thing. That's sort of harder to say. I guess I could say I tell myself not to stay away from basketball, because I got injured doing that. That had me out for a few weeks.
Weeks.
I guess
That's
a
like
few, over a
3 months.
month,
That was like two or three
maybe.
months.
That wasn't 3 months. So, yeah, I don't know.
All right,
That was a
never
lot though.
mind.
But yeah, like take care of my health more, I guess. I don't know. That's about it. But again, it's all a learning experience, and you know, all the choices I made in the last 4 years are what added up to who I am right now. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, who knows? I don't know if I would have been friends with you like this if I had done
No, I
something
think so.
different, you know? So,
Maybe, maybe, maybe.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tara, for everything that you said. I personally have learned so much and I've gained so much insight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad. All right. No, thanks, Anton. It's a lot of fun. All right.
Wow, Kintaro was definitely one of the best guests yet. His honesty and vulnerability just really, really impressed me. His stories about his time spent writing essays for IB, his last year of swimming, and how he didn't really think it went well at first, but then after some talking with the coach, he found some light and some positivity in it, and his stories about him being a captain and the responsibilities of the captain were just so moving, and I'm just so appreciative for him for sharing this with me and with you. It reminds me of a time this past season when I didn't have a great swim and I kind of just sat down and I wasn't really feeling great, wasn't feeling great of myself. And Kentaro sat down with me and we had a conversation and one of the stories that he told me was that he also didn't have a great swim earlier and what he did was he just moved it to the back of his head and he didn't think about it and he just moved on with the session. And that really, really helped me with the rest of the session, and I had a few great swims afterwards. I really commend Kentaro for sharing the story and his thoughts with me. No matter how vulnerable or how honest he had to get, especially when he was talking about his decision on how he picked Carnegie Mellon. His vulnerability and honesty really showed in this story specifically, because he kind of thought of it as a cop-out, and because he didn't know if he wanted to do it. And I am just so incredibly grateful for Kentaro for sharing all these stories and all these tidbits of information with me and with you. I truly, truly enjoyed talking with Kentaro, and I really, really hope you did as well. I am your host, Anton Beregovoy. Until next time in the Life in Lane 4.